The Big Sports Breakfast later this half hour, we'll be talking Wimbledon and give you all of the Wimbledon results that have unfolded overnight and throughout this morning with Roger Rashid talking about the Aussies' performances. This morning, the Matildas drew one apiece with Portugal, and we've got a few people on the text line, Phil Moss, that are agreeing with you about the decision on the Portugal goal or the lack of.
Yeah, that's right. As a text in saying it was 100% a howler. If VAR was there, it would have been overturned. A couple of mates of mine, Trev Whitty and Leon Brillman, who are avid listeners of the show, they've texted me as well, saying for once in my life I wasn't wrong. So, yeah, it looks like the Matildas have been dudded there with that one that made the score 1-1. But a gritty performance from the Matildas and one that will restore a bit of pride in the shirt and confidence in the dressing room from that 7-0 shellacking the other morning to Spain.
Now, we've also got a lot of people texting through this morning, and if you didn't hear us earlier, just updating on the Tab app, I know we've had some issues with the broadcasting on the Tab app that a lot of you aren't hearing it. And yes, it's not just your phone. There are some technical issues with it at the moment. We are working on those. What I'd advise you to do if you do want to stream is to go to skyracing.com.au. You are able to listen to the program that way. Or if you want to, you can also go to other various radio streaming platforms that you'll be able to stream us through. But the easiest is to go to your web browser, put in skyracing.com.au, go to the radio play option, and you'll be able to hear us there. The NRL this weekend, round 16, is the Beanies for Brain Cancer round. Looking forward to some terrific matchups. When you go through the round this weekend, it's just really, you know, mouth-watering, some of the games that we're going to be seeing. It kicks off on Thursday night with Manly against the Storm at Four Pines Park, and we just know the rivalry between those two sides. Really looking forward to that. The Panthers take on the Roosters. Obviously, the Panthers on the back of State of Origin will be with their tails up, so can the Roosters bounce back to some sort of form? Canterbury Bankstown, they're absolutely flying, and they take on the Sharks at CommBank Stadium. So that match could be anything, even though the Cronulla Sharks are expected to win. Then you've got the Cowboys taking on the Broncos, the Queensland Derby up there in Townsville, and Souths taking on Parramatta with the return of Latrell Mitchell. Gee, what a match. It's just every game you look at. And then you've got the Warriors back at home for the first time in such a long time after COVID protocols against West Tigers. So there's a lot of really great matchups. In fact, that's, you know, every game I mentioned there, they're absolute crackers. So to think that we've had an amazing State of Origin and now we've got an amazing round 16 of NRL, rugby league, it doesn't get much better.
And the big one especially is the sellout crowd over in New Zealand. How nice, after more than 1,000 days of playing away, 2.5 years playing away from home, it's great for the Warriors to finally be back over there in New Zealand. Tough task for the West Tigers, though, to have to go over and play against a no doubt a boosted side that they're back at home.
I do feel for Nathan Brown, though. Like, having been through what he went through as a coach with the Warriors based over here for such a long, well, I think his entire tenure, and then he misses the opportunity because he's now left to take the team home and play in front of a sellout crowd. It's a bit of a shame, but I guess that's the way the cards fall.
All right. Well, we're just having trouble getting hold of Damien Cook at the moment, but we'll hopefully speak to Cookie before the end of the program. Might be having a well-earned sleep in after his State of Origin performance the other night. He was terrific.
He was, and it's going to be interesting as well to see he's after a 3-year extension at the club, so he's in a similar position to what we saw Adam Reynolds in last year, who also wanted to chase that longer deal, and Damien Cook has definitely voiced that he wants to be at Souths until the end of his career.
Mm. Now, we're just hearing that the reason he hasn't slept in, actually, Cookie, he's been called into a team meeting, so we've had to bump Damien Cook. So we'll hopefully get Cookie up.
Well, he's had to bump us.
He's bumped us.
Yeah, yes. He will hopefully be up after 8:30. So hopefully we'll talk to Rabbitohs hooker Damien Cook then. But the good news is we can turn our attention to tennis because there's been some big results for the Aussies overnight. As I mentioned, Nick Kyrgios, albeit controversially, is through to the second round. He won in 5 sets. Alex de Minaur, who is our highest-ranked player, he won easily through in 3 sets. Who else we had? Jordan Thompson, he won in straight sets over Roberto Buena Carbajas. Jason Kubler had a big result over Dave Evans. Alex Poprin, unfortunately, lost. He was favourite in that match to Hugo Gaston. And Australia's highest-ranked female, Ayla Tomljanovic, she was the only female winner through after losses to Zoe Hives, Darius Saville, Jamie Fawless and Astra Sharma, who all lost. Tadasi Kokkinakis tonight. And some big news around, too, with Italy's Matteo Berrettini and also Marin Cilic withdrawing through COVID. And even Serena Williams was knocked out this morning. So there's plenty happening and we're only on day two of Wimbledon and barely past the first round. So let's talk tennis now and welcome in this morning, Roger Rashid. Good morning, Roger.
Morning, guys. How are we this morning?
Very well. There's a lot to get through there, as I've just touched on. But obviously a great starting point will be Nick Kyrgios, and he had a tough match when you look at the scoreline, but obviously, unfortunately, we're reading headlines again with Nick Kyrgios with some of his behaviour on court. What did you make of his performance and unfortunately, some of that bad behaviour that we've been accustomed to with Nick?
Day two was a tough day on the court for everybody. It was windy, it was cooler, and on grass, it's really tricky when you're playing in the wind compared to the other surfaces because of the just the nuances of a grass court and the ball, what it does off there. And I think Nick found that very hard early to find some rhythm. There's no doubt about that on court. He struggled with some rhythm, but I think the headlines that they warranted, probably not, to be honest. I watched I sat through the whole match, watched it. He had a little bit of banter from time to time, but nothing that was, nothing that warranted headlines in a negative way for Nick. I don't think there were. He talked about some slurring that was happening from the crowd towards him. It comes with the territory. On a tennis court, he wants entertainment on the tennis court, so there is a bit of entertainment that comes to the court where Nick plays. There's no doubt about that. He brings a lot of it, and he brings the crowd into the matches. And he was in a real fight out there with Paul Jarvis, who was he played so calmly for a young lad who's got a wild card, who's ranked outside the top 200, played without that number attached to his name, and found himself in a really, really tight position there, and it was all credit to him to actually get over the top eventually and get through there. But yeah, there's a little bit of theatre. He spoke in the press conference about some racial slurs, said it wasn't there, but there was some today, but it has been part of his part of his environment. A couple of weeks ago in Stuttgart, there was some, and I think he's just sort of trying to, he's trying to, I guess, express that his distaste for that sort of stuff on a tennis court. And it was interesting. The press conference was quite interesting because there were some pretty direct questions asked from some of the journalists. I guess they were probably suggesting, hey, Nick, but don't you do similar things to people in the crowd or the umpires or, in the past? And I think they were trying to fish for a bit.
And, Rog, Tanasi Kokkinakis, he's through to the second round where he'll face Novak Djokovic. They have played each other before, but back in 2015. And I just love how Tanasi has just said he's excited for the opportunity and more so just happy to be back on the court and playing some good tennis.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those things, when you can, you're on centre court, he'll be on there at 1:30, so he knows when the start is. So, the energy around getting ready for that match, you don't just sit in the locker room and wait for another match to be completed. And the fact that he's fit and healthy, got through his first round match unscathed, and he gets to throw it all out there against Novak, in a second round match. So the court's not as its purest, because it's still a bit green, and when it's green, there's some, it's slippery with your footing. You just don't quite adjust as well as it is when it's probably day five or day six, where it's probably, I think, grass courts they've had a bit of wear and tear, and your footing's exceptional. So that gives Tanasi a really good opportunity if he can play some really good first strike tennis. But the joy of walking out on the centre court and that experience, you don't get it very often. At Wimbledon or any other major court, unless you're one of the big players, is something that you just need to take in. And you don't want to play with nerves out there. You want to play freely and let it all out, because that's really what that court provides you. It's a freedom of actually going up against the big seeds and playing with no fear, and hopefully Thanasi can do that.
Roger, I think I'm right in saying that Djokovic isn't eligible to go to the US Open because of the whole COVID vaccination issue. What sort of added pressure does that put on him for Wimbledon? Do you think he's in a good place to go and lift the title? I know there's others, of course, who will put up a fight, but where do you think he's at going into this one?
Yeah, look, I think he's a favourite, there's no doubt. And I think, you know, his ball striking in his first round was, you know, he dropped the second set. It's never going to be ideal in the early rounds. You don't, you know, you're not seeing, sometimes we see the best players in the world like Novak, Rafa, Roger in the past, where they've been so clinical in the early stages. As I said, grass with the green grass, as lush as it is, the footing, it takes you a little bit of time to just feel comfortable, and you don't want to overpress in certain areas. So you look at, there's a little bit of protection around the first rounds. And so he's in a really good space. Yes, he knows he's not playing in the US at this stage. He's pretty comfortable with that. He's been pretty strong about his views and how they sit. And so he's prepared to accept the consequences, I think, now that are attached with those. He's quite calm in his mind. So this championship in itself, like the French Open, it builds and builds for him. What I do like is that going into Roland Garros, he didn't have a lot of matches on his side. Going into now, he's got a volume of matches. He's probably, you know, it's a little bit of a different type of setup for Novak as far as his foundations underneath him going into this championship. So it's the toughest ask in tennis on a grass court at the moment is Novak. He hasn't lost since 2017 on these courts. So you know, it's a pretty big hill to climb over a mountain, climb over the Tanasi. But looking forward to that. And you're talking about the COVID. I know you guys mentioned Matteo Berrettini and Marin Cilic, and you know, they ruled themselves out. Berrettini has been ill for a couple of days. It's not required to test yourself on a daily basis for Wimbledon. It's up to you as an athlete. If you have some symptoms, you can decide to test or not, and just get on with it. These guys obviously decided to test. They weren't feeling good enough to play. And so they pulled out, and they're in the bottom half of the draw, which was Rafa's half of the draw. Rafa winning today in four sets, and it's a blessing for Rafa because they're two players that are finalists at Wimbledon and can take Rafa out of the draw. So that it's given him a little bit of, protection on this side of the draw.
Roger, what did you make of the other Australian results overnight? Alex De Minaur, obviously our highest-ranked Aussie, seemingly did it easy. You know, I thought the other result, which I'm surprised hasn't got a lot more attention, was Jason Kubler upsetting Daniel Evans, because that would have been a tough match against the local.
Yeah, no, good point, 100%. Alex was very good. He was clinical. He looked, he opened up really calmly, and that was a big match. He's on court two. Court one, so it's a big court, and to get out there and play really free, easy tennis, I thought he did an exceptional job, and then going on to win that in straight. So it's a couple of tight moments, but that's always a blessing to get out there in those conditions. And I think Alex handles the win quite well. As you said, Jordan Thompson got through again, comfortable win, one on one. You know, he's not a natural grass court player, but because the court plays a little slow, it can suit his game. But yeah, Jason Kubler, it's a good story. He's 29 years of age. He definitely is a journeyman. He's a battler. He's in and out. He's trying to find his way, trying to solidify himself in a position where he doesn't have to go through qualifyings and so he can make main draws of every tournament he wishes to play. And to beat someone like Dan Evans, who's tactically very smart, he's crafty around the court. Dan Evans is local, so he's playing a local. And to go out there and play him and actually also use tactics that actually allows you to dismantle someone like Dan Evans was an absolute credit to Jason. So it's something that I haven't seen. I've seen him play tactically quite smart at times, but to do it on a big stage against a big opponent in Dan Evans, who's a 28th seed, who's got some good scouts on his attached to his name, that was a big tip. What you want from this point on is that Jason to win his next round. You don't want to take that. You enjoy that moment, but you must make the most out of these opportunities. So he does play Denis Novak, Austrian, who's a qualifier. So there's a great opportunity for him to get through to the next round. And I'm really hoping and expecting that he actually pushes through and actually finds a way through to the third round.
Now, we saw, Rog, this morning, Serena Williams bow out. Can you give our listeners, are there any smokies for the titles, for the men's and women's, that you can give our listeners something to have a dabble on?
Yeah, I mean, look, Serena, it was unfortunate for Serena. You know, 40-year-old playing, first round, you expect, you know, what were we expecting? The people expecting her to get to the second week? It's hard to know because you've got to have some volume of work under your belt. You know, on your side of the court, Serena hadn't. It's been 12 months. It's not never easy watching a champion bow out, but she gives it her all. She loves it. Passionate. Struggled in the first set, then the roof closed and lights came on, and then she actually played some really vintage Serena tennis and overpowered Tan, and then unfortunately, you know, lost in the tiebreak, a super tiebreak 10-7, and the super tiebreak at the end, which happens at 6-6 now at Wimbledon. So really tense moment, and for the young French woman to be able to go out there and beat Serena, regardless of whether Serena's had a volume of matches. You know, it's a big thing to do. There's nothing bigger in tennis than beating champions, or in sport, in beating global superstars that face you, that challenge you. So it's credit to her. Sad for the tournament for Serena. If you're looking at smokies, I would have put someone like Marin Cilic, who had a good French Open in there, on the men's side. Maybe Jannik Sinner, who's an Italian. But he actually, you know, he sits there and he potentially has Novak in his draw in the quarterfinals. So Alcaraz, who won in five sets from Spain, you know, his first outing on grass as a big seed, number five seed. So, you know, they're on Novak's side of the draw there. It's a tough ask to get through Novak, but potential. And then on the women's side of it, you know, Coco Gauff, who was a finalist at the French Open, you might say she shouldn't be a smoky. Well, she is. She's 11th seed. She's young. She's a teenager. And so for me, I'll be interested to see if she can actually back it up. And she's in a tough section of the draw as well, but to back herself up and actually get through deep into the championships. But, yeah, that's probably where I sit. You know, if I'm looking at the smokies, Jabeur in the women's side as well, Ons Jabeur from Tunisia, who's number three seed, but would you say she's a smoky? They're putting her up as a favourite, one of the favourites, but, you know, you haven't been there before. So I think if you haven't been there before and you haven't won a major, you're a smoky.
Well, Jabeur is 650 currently with Tab. That's yep. Not too bad. Swiatek's the favourite at 220. You've got Simona Halep $11, Petra Kvitova $13, and Coco Gauff is $15. So not bad value there. Rog, we'll take that.
Yeah, I think Jabeur, Sakari, they're both women that play really well on the grass courts. They have nice grass court games. So again, I think if you haven't won one of the, you know, you haven't won a major, you sit there as a smoky because there's a lot to navigate over a 2-week period. You know, first you've got to trust yourself. Do you believe you can win one? Then you get to those moments deep where the locker room's empty and there's only you and a few other competitors and it's quiet and you've got your own noise going on in your head. How do you navigate through that type of thing? So the dynamics over the 2 weeks of a major change dramatically. We're seeing completely full Wimbledon grounds, all the courts used, big crowds. It's like the olden days. It's beautiful to see. But then as we get into the second week and the juniors start as well, but the courts get, you know, they get cleaned up, they're put aside, some of the courts, and they shut shop, and then there's only a few of the big courts, limited numbers of obviously people in the crowd, and then things, you know, it gets real for players that haven't been there, and that's why it's really hard to knock off the champions at these majors, because they have a level of comfort going into to the back end of the tournament.
And interestingly, on the men's side, as far as betting is concerned with Tab, Novak Djokovic is the $1.55 favourite, Nadal $6, Alcaraz $12, Tsitsipas $15. What's interesting, Rog, you've got Andy Murray $29, by the way, but Nick Kyrgios is shorter than Alex Demonor. Demonor is $51 and Nick Kyrgios $19.
Yeah, and I think every match Nick wins, he comes in a bit because he's got firepower. You know, to win one of these things, you've got to have weapons that you can't go through and be a player that doesn't have big weapons where you can actually try and you can hit your way through a through a through a moment in a match and through periods in matches to save you and get yourself out of jail, whereas Nick actually has all of that. Yes, it wasn't on all on show yesterday. I think it was a great hurdle for him to clear, but when you got his serve, you got some free points. So there's so many free points that are attached to Nick's game that he's already got in his pocket. And so that's why his odds will, they'll keep coming in and coming in. But we're looking forward to seeing where he goes, because if he does win this next match against Krancevic, who's 26 in the world, so there's, from Serbia, plays a real steady game, nice game, but Nick's going to have a lot of opportunities in that tennis match. He then potentially plays the winner of Jordan Thompson or Stefanos Tsitsipas, who's a fourth seed, and there's a bit of history there between Nick and Tsitsipas. So, but we would like to see Kyrgios Thompson third round. So, so some really interesting, exciting couple of days ahead on the men's side of things. And as you said, on the women's for Australia, Tom Lanovich, who was a quarterfinalist last year, looked very, very comfortable in her first round match. So controlled on the tennis court. Defeating the 18th seed in Teichmann. So that's a real big tick for her, because when you're a quarterfinalist last year and you come back out, there's no points to defend, obviously, but you're still defending your position a little bit. And so you want a repeat performance, and she came up against the 18th seed to do that. That was a really big tick. Really enjoyed watching her play last night.
And Rog, just quickly, I know you got to run, but John Millman, after he lost in four sets in the opening round, he's now said that his career is coming to an end. I guess he is 33, and he just said his body can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, I think so. It was a great career. I mean, when you look at it, you'd sign up for that career. Yes, he'd probably take away a few of the injuries that he had to suffer, but with that, it's built his determination to do all the hard work and the little things that actually matter for his game. And he put everything out there. He's had a win over Roger Federer at the US Open. He's had a really good career, a sound career that's given him a livelihood, but more importantly, just some great memories. And so, yeah, I think he's squeezed everything out of John Millman squeezed everything out of his tennis career on the practice court and on the match court. He's been very disciplined about the way he's gone about things, and I think he's a realist as well, knowing that that this is my position, and because the rankings got frozen for 12 months, there was an opportunity for him to stay in that top group where he gets into the main draws. But now I think, he's finding things a little tough.
Roger Rashid, we'll chat throughout the tournament, but thanks for joining us this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast.
Thanks, guys. Have a fantastic day.
We'll take a break. News is next. The Big Sports Breakfast updating Wimbledon scores from overnight. As far as the Aussies were concerned, wins to Nick Kyrgios in five sets, a straight sets victory for Alex de Minaur. Jordan Thompson won in straight sets, as did Jason Kubler. Alexei Popyrin, he lost his match. Of the women, Ila Tomljanović was the only one through. So all in all, a pretty good night for the Australians. Tanasi Kokkinakis will take on Novak Djokovic tonight at 10:45. So good luck to him. Hopefully he will be able to progress. And I think if he does, there'll be a potential meeting with Nick Kyrgios. Roger Rashid said that, or no, it's the other one, Jordan Thompson and Nick Kyrgios. But anyway, the Aussies are doing quite well at the moment at Wimbledon. Serena Williams got knocked out this morning, so the former Wimbledon champ, who's won seven titles there, unable to progress, knocked out in the first round. The Matildas, if you missed the result this morning, they drew one all with Portugal. And by and large, Mossy, that was a pretty sound performance from the Matildas after that 7-0 loss to Spain. It was a welcome result.
It really was. And look, Portugal aren't Spain, there's no doubt, and they wasted some chances in the first half, but a really resilient performance from the Matildas. They needed to bounce back from that shellacking the other morning, and Tony Gustafsson obviously did some really good work with his staff behind the scenes to get them prepared for this game. Short turnaround, but I think they did themselves proud this morning. And that Portugal goal, I've seen it again, 100% offside. There was some question marks about our goal. Princess Abini was onside, I've got no doubt. So, probably a little bit hard done by in the end. We should have won 1-0.
And in the rugby league this weekend, round 16 of the NRL kicks off tomorrow night with Manly taking on the Melbourne Storm. It is beanies for brain cancer round, and as far as the state of origin players are concerned, the majority of them will be backing up this weekend. Probably the most notable that won't be playing will be Kalyn Ponga. He, obviously with that head knock with an HIA issue, he won't be playing for Newcastle. There's also some doubt around Cameron Munster, even though he has been named for the Melbourne Storm, whether he will take his place. But the majority of the other State of Origin players will all back up this weekend. And what a mouth-watering round it is to behold. On Thursday night, Manly taking on Melbourne at Manly. What a match that will be. Always a spiteful affair. Friday night, the Knights taking on the Titans. And part of Beanies for Brain Cancer round, bear in mind that big three trek will get underway today from NRL headquarters, and they will arrive at Newcastle on Friday evening. A lot of those celebrities and former players that will take part in that for the Mark Hughes Foundation. So sure to be some emotion ahead of that game. Then also on Friday night, the Panthers take on the Roosters. A lot of the State of Origin stars are backing up in that one. And then on Saturday, Canterbury take on the Cronulla Sharks. Won't Nicho Hynes be absolutely like a bull at a gate in that particular match? And then on the other side, you've got the likes of Matt Burton backing up from a stellar debut in his match at State of Origin 2 on Sunday night. Then the Queensland Derby, the Cowboys taking on the Broncos. Then it rounds out with the Rabbitohs taking on Parramatta. Latrell Mitchell returning for the Rabbitohs. And on Sunday, the New Zealand Warriors back at home against West Tigers, and St George Illawarra taking on the Canberra Raiders. So a big round this particular weekend. Looking forward to seeing that after what was a sensational State of Origin 2. Well, looking forward to the Commonwealth Games, which is coming up in Birmingham in April. And one lady who will be particularly proud about her achievements because it is her third Commonwealth Games is Kay Scott. After she won bronze at the Gold Coast, she'll certainly be looking to do better and get that elusive gold. And she's our guest this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, guys.
Congratulations on a third Commonwealth Games. I understand this is a feat only achieved once before by Tony Madigan as a boxer to complete in three Commonwealth Games. But considering that it took a long time for the girls to get in the ring at that particular level, that's a real achievement.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool little piece of history to make, and I'm very excited to be going along for my third game.
Kay, it's Phil Moss here. Wonderful to talk to you. We're going to talk Commonwealth Games, and I'd like to ask you a question about the Olympics and how you train and everything. But the burning question that you need to answer is, give us some dirt on Jamie Rogers. You two are close friends. You must have some stories that we don't know about.
Oh, she was a wild girl in the uni days.
Oh, here we go.
No, she wasn't. She was a studious uni student. We know each other from way back then at UTS doing our human movement degree. And, we were like good friends.
Sounds like you're being very, very guarded.
And we worked together at a gym called Millennium, where Kay still is, and she actually got into trouble because she used to train me, and we do it on the side.
Nice.
So, and Kay got pulled aside by her boss to say, you guys have to actually stop doing that.
So that training you did with Kay, is that why you're going to swim the channel?
Well, it could have led to that. That's probably why I'm strong. I was training with a boxer. Well, Kay, take us back, though, because, you know, you were the first female in terms of in New South Wales back in 2009 when it was illegal for women to compete in the boxing ring, and you took part in that first female bout. Just talk to us about that, but then also how much boxing has progressed to now in 2022.
Yeah, to be honest, like, I still look back on it and reflect on it and just think that in 2009 that it was illegal in New South Wales. It was so crazy. I literally started doing some boxing just from in a gym doing boxer size type classes, and then somehow got involved with it a little bit more and started going down at my PCYC and watched a few boys kind of go to the fight nights, and I started getting a little bit more serious with the training. And I asked the coach there and I said, oh, look, I'd love to have a fight maybe in 6 months. Like, do you think we could do that? And he just said no. And I was like, oh, what do you mean no? And he goes, it's illegal. You can't. And I, like, my jaw was just down to the ground. I was like, what the hell? that finally the laws did lift in New South Wales because it was introduced to the 2012 Olympics for the first time. And, yeah, that was a little another little piece of history I can add to the boxing career book. And that was, yeah, really exciting to be part of. And we've just, honestly, like, the sport has progressed massively in Australia and in New South Wales since then. It's the third time that the girls have been allowed in the Commonwealth Games, and just the volume of girls that are involved in combat sports now are just exponentially growing.
And Kay, you mentioned the difficulty and you know, your jaw was on the ground when you heard that it was illegal. And then, of course, last year, if memory serves me correctly, and my research this morning with Jamie was correct, there was a bit of a setback too around the Olympic Games qualification because of COVID sort of shifting the goalposts. And we talk about resilience in athletes. How did that decision rest with you? How did you deal with it, and how did you bounce back?
That one still hurts a bit right now. Yeah, it's probably been the toughest hurdle in my career to overcome. So I missed out on qualification for my final chance to qualify. The World Trials was cancelled because of COVID, and they decided to go back on ranking point system. It's quite complex in regards, but Australia doesn't get the chance to gain as many ranking points because of the events that are involved in. And unfortunately, because I've competed internationally in different weight divisions, only the points that are in your weight division count, and then they're halved if they come from different weight divisions. So, I mean, there were two more girls from my region, which was Asia Oceania, and I sat in the third ranking spot. So number one and number two went, and I just sat on the side, and there was nothing I could do about it.
So if that still hurts as an athlete, because we'll have plenty listening in this morning, how do you bottle that and use it in a positive way? Does that spur you on to greater things?
Yeah, in hindsight, you've got to accept those feelings and kind of sit with them. But then you realise, like, it's completely out of your control. There's nothing you can do about it. And I wanted to... I did have to decide with my career, because I'm older as an athlete, and I just had to sit down and decide, do I want to keep going or do I want to finish my career? And it was actually another girl in the Australian team who actually decided to pack it in, and that was it for her, and she's retired now. But I knew that after kind of going through my head that wasn't for me, and decided to push on and managed to qualify for the Com Games, and here I am, ready to go get the gold medal over there.
Well, talk to us about your preparation, because you are up in Brisbane for the next 2.5 weeks before you fly over to the UK. If anyone that's following you on Instagram or any of your social media platforms will just see how full-on and extensive your training is, just talk to us about this preparation.
Yeah, we've got the whole Commonwealth Games team up here. We're kind of doing a 2.5 week prep up here. We train kind of three sessions a day, pretty full on. Then we'll go back home just for a couple of days to pack everything. Then we're off to the island. So we're doing a 2.5 week training camp over in Ireland with some international teams to get some higher caliber sparring there, and then from there we'll go straight into Birmingham.
Have you ever been to Birmingham? Have you been to the UK to train there, and what are your expectations?
I've been to the UK many times for training camps, but not Birmingham itself. It's funny enough, the place in Ireland that we're going to is the exact same university and training grounds that I went to for my first ever Commonwealth Games. That was the same area and training camp that we did. I just got sent the details before, and it said Ulster University, and I was like, hang on. And then I asked the head coach, and he's like, yeah, it's the same place. So that'll be a little bit nostalgic going back there.
And one honour for you as well, as you were nominated to be the flag bearer for these Com Games through the boxing CEO. That's surely... would have been nice to have been given that phone call.
Yeah, that was very, very heartwarming to hear that they wanted to have me representing. It was a really big honour.
Kay, where's boxing at? Where do you think the sport is at? If you think about it generally, as you said, you're an older athlete. I'm not going to call you old age because you're certainly not that. But you know, with the experience you've got and the mature mindset you've got, where do you think the sport's at?
I think the Australian team at the last Comm Games, we were the most successful team ever. I think we had something like 7 medals from 13 people. We've got a little bit of a different team coming in here. The girls, we've got 4 females. 3 of them are very well experienced internationally. The men that have come through pretty much are all newcomers. So some of them had a couple of international fights. So it would be interesting just to see where they are on the world stage. But it is hard to navigate where we are because of COVID has stopped a lot of international competition to know you where you are on the ranking. So we don't really kind of 100% know where you're sitting in regards to the rest of the world. So yeah, it's a bit of a lottery system there, and you'll just have to stay tuned and watch it all to see how it unfolds.
So, Kay, you're amateur at the moment, obviously, ahead of the Commonwealth Games. I understand you're going professional after the Comm Games. What is that process like? And I guess what are the challenges in training and I guess the next steps as far as managing your career are concerned?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to make a change. I've been with the amateurs for a very, very long time, hence the 3 Comm Games. I just think I've kind of achieved what I wanted to in the amateurs, as long as I bring away that gold from Birmingham.
When you bring that gold home.
Yeah, that's it. I'm a few more opportunities in the pros, something different. You don't need to do anything. You just need to register as a professional. Like, changes a little bit for the females. We go from, instead of doing 3-minute rounds, we go back to doing 2-minute rounds. But you go up to 10 rounds rather than always 3 3-minute rounds. So there's a few technical adjustments that you make in the ring that maybe just to the general public, if they didn't know much about boxing, they wouldn't know, but there's quite a few adjustments that you do need to make. It's a different style. It's the same sport, but there's lots of tactical adjustments and technical adjustments that you have to make as a pro. You kind of learn it along the way and hopefully get a good management team and can sign up with one of the big companies like No Limit or Matchroom and get on some of the big world stage shows.
And Kay, I've already bought mine, but where can our listeners support you and get the Team Scott t-shirts?
Yay. Thank you.
Jamie Rogers, the head of merchandise.
I love it. I've got some Team Scott supporter t-shirts for Commonwealth Games. You go to www.unbroken.com.au and then you just type in Kay or Kay Scott. You'll see that my t-shirt comes up under their merchandise.
Well, Kay, great to speak to you this morning. Once again, congratulations on a 3rd Commonwealth Games. It's such an achievement. Good luck over there in Birmingham, and good luck again beyond the Commonwealth Games in your professional career. There's a lot happening. So thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Kay
thanks,
Scott, Kay. Joining us there this morning. Terrific lady. And yeah, it is quite an achievement, isn't it? Mm. You know, when you think about 3 Commonwealth Games, you think about how long you've been training for. I mean, it's such a lot of effort that goes into it,
but
isn't
also
it?
Just watching her journey. I mean, we talk about it all the time with athletes. They go through injuries or that disappointment of missing out on qualification. But last year was just horrendous with the Olympic qualification. I remember watching that, and she did a video about it all, and it was just heartbreaking. Mm. But they pick yourself up and use that to fuel motivation to go, and this time, hopefully, she comes home with gold.
And don't forget, she's making up for lost time in some respects too, because she started quite late, in 22, I think she was.
Yeah, was set 8 years ago.
Yeah, so you know, you've really got to, I guess, accelerate your development and understanding of a sport like that, which is, boxing is a really technical sport as well.
But also
as
to
the
think
physical.
In 2009, it was illegal in New South Wales for a female to go and have a fight in a boxing ring.
Yeah,
which is just crazy, isn't it?
Really is.
We'll take a break. It's the Big Sports Breakfast. Racing HQ is coming up shortly. We'll chat to Dave Stanley. It's been the Big Sports Breakfast this Wednesday. We've had a few late scratchings today, so apologies for that. We didn't get Damien Cook. We're hoping to get Cookie on tomorrow, and Adam Pengelly was also a late scratching. So sorry for promoting those and we didn't get to them, but hopefully we'll get to them later in the week. A big thank you to Dick Fain for joining us, talking all things American sports. Dean Bulldog Richie was on board with us as well, talking Origin around 16 in the NRL. Stuart Clark talking about the Australian and Sri Lankan match, which kicks off at 2:30 today. We'll analyse that on tomorrow's program. Roger Rashid talking tennis with us as well. And we just finished the hour there with Kay Scott. Lovely talking to Kay, and good luck for her Commonwealth Games campaign, which will be her third. Phil Moss, it's always a pleasure working with you, mate. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, JR.
Yeah, thanks, Mossy. It's always great when you're in the studio.
Yeah, had a lot of fun this morning, and I feel like we had some fantastic guests, really educated as always, and gave our listeners something to get their heads around.
Good on you, Mossy. Always a pleasure. And Dean Bulldog Richie will be in with Jamie and myself for the next 2 days here on the Big Sports Breakfast. But stay tuned now for Racing HQ with Dave Stanley.